Hey, I'm Terri Ann Richards, and this is the Balanced Perspective Podcast, where we share practical and down-to-earth advice on how to be happy, healthy, and successful, all from the inside out. Stick around. Hey, y'all, this is Terri Ann Richards, and you are listening to the Balanced Perspective. I am here with my guest, my new friend, and you know every time you come on the show, I always say these folks are my new friends. So Todd Kukan is our guest today. And you know what? I'm not going to do a big introduction on him because he's got a lot of juicy deets that he's going to be giving you. But I would like to say this. He walks people through an inside-out journey to grow relationships both in and out of the workplace. And he had me at Inside Out. So welcome to the show, Todd.
So great to be on, Terri Ann, and wonderful to finally meet you face-to-face. And I'm looking forward to our conversation.
As am I. All right. So I always like to kind of get a snapshot of sort of here we are today, but take me on a journey a little bit back to what brought you to the space that you're in today. So tell us a little bit about your journey, where that started and what that looked like.
Sure, sure. Most of my life career-wise, I was in teaching, coaching and the nonprofit world. About 6+ years ago, I got involved with our local Chamber of Commerce. And then it was brought to my attention this guy named John Maxwell, and I'd never heard of the man, and he's like internationally famous in the leadership world. So I went to one of his events and was incredibly inspired, and then actually went to one of his conferences down in Florida. I'm going down again soon, and just very inspiring individual, and he very much a giver, wanting to add value to others, much like you and I are. And then a couple years ago, about a year and a half ago, I decided that I want to do this part-time leadership work that I was doing. I wanted to do it full-time. And I left the best job I had in my career, one of my favorite jobs of all time, at the age of 63. And I said, I'm going to do this thing, right? So for a little over a year now, I've been doing it full-time, solopreneur. I am the chief of marketing, the chief of HR, the chief of everything, and loving and getting through every minute of it.
I love that. So I've been in business for myself since I was about 18 and a half years old. I've had 8 companies across that span. And I always laugh because the world of solo entrepreneurship, until you get to a certain size, you really are. It's like, what's your title? It's like, which one would you like me to give you? Right? Exactly. Like I do it all, right? I am the behind the scenes and in front of the scenes.
that was one of the things, quite honestly, that I didn't fully understand when I got into it. And the challenge was, when I was out doing my craft, when I was doing keynote speaking and workshops, I was getting paid and that was great, but I wasn't getting out there marketing myself to people. And when I'm marketing myself to people, reaching out, I wasn't making the money, right? So that yin and yang, and I know there's ways to automate that, and I'm slowly getting there, but it's been an interesting challenge, a fun ride.
There's so many different ways, and I think you and I could probably have lots of chats because I'm discovering new innovative ways to take things off of my plate that allow me to automate some of those systems. So you and I should chat after this. Yep. So let's talk a little bit more about the space that you play in now. So you had me at Inside Out. And for those of you who are listening, you recognize I use it all the time, Inside Out Leadership Development. If you want anything external in life, some success, some accolades, the achievements, what have you, you need to get it right on the inside first, right? Because everything kind of is built from there. So tell me a little bit about, obviously, the philosophy that you've created and the way in which you're working with folks. I know one of the things that you sort of say is the pillar or the foundation of your work is really getting in alignment with a person's core values, right? That core inner space, that inner beacon of themselves. So can you share a little bit more about that with us?
Yeah, you really hit my sweet spot there with core values. And my target market initially was entrepreneurs and individuals, but I've shifted a little bit in the company space. And what I really learned there is that it's even more important to have that inside out look at people. We know that the different generations have different needs, and the younger generations particularly want engagement. And that engagement, I think for them, really does come from the inside out, knowing fully who you are. And that's what going through your core values, really doing an intentional sit down. I have an exercise that I take people through to help them determine their core values and really nail that down. And so often for me, and I'm sure for you too, Terri Ann, you rely on those and lean on those. Sometimes you don't realize you're doing it because they are part of you, part of your inside. But sometimes you have to consciously pull those out. Mine are optimism, trust, honesty, enthusiasm, and teamwork. And sometimes I need to pull those out when the moments are a little bit lower. I also have a strong faith, so that helps. My core values are really central to who I am and really start me down that journey, start me down that road of kind of lifting myself up, whether it's, again, as an entrepreneur or in a company culture.
In my experience, anytime I've sat down with an entrepreneur leader or just worked within organizations, there's this belief that this is sort of that beginning work that you do, kind of like, you know, the MVPs, right? Like, what's my mission? What's my values? What's my purpose or passions or however you're going to word it. But they just kind of put it on a plaque, you know, store it away into a Google Drive somewheres. And it's kind of never to be referred back to again. And that's what I see, you know, it's sort of like business plans or strategic plans that people go and pay oodles of money for. And they kind of end up doing it, but all this effort and there's so much passion behind it, but then it goes and gets locked away on a shelf somewhere. Can you talk to me a bit about maybe why that's probably not the best move and what they can do instead?
Well, I think what I really focused on, first of all, is determining my priorities. And from my priorities, I'm trying to create habits. And every day I have a number of habits I do first thing in the morning, the end of the day, and then the interspace throughout the day to really help me stay focused on those things that are important. Because you're right, we get so involved in the business, in the widget or in the service. We forget about ourselves and really that self-awareness of who we are and what we are. And if we don't have ways to keep that in front of us and keep that engaged, then yeah, how many companies have we walked into and they got the beautiful poster on the wall and then the people are acting like, whoa, did they ever even read that poster? Same thing with us as we develop our who we are, our core values. We need to lean on them, rely on them. Twice a day it pops up on my phone and I kind of repeat them. I kind of think through them a little bit, not a lot of time, just, you know, a minute or so here and there. But we have to keep it in front of us, keep it fresh, and keep, there's so much negative out there. We have to feed ourselves with the positive and the positive that really relates to us and who we are.
Mm. You know, it's interesting. I kind of think of your core values as like a GPS system, right? Like it's kind of pulling you in the direction of where you said is important to you, or if it's turned off, it's not, right? And so if you're not paying attention to your core values, you might potentially be walking out of alignment of who you are as a person, right? And the further out of alignment you get, the more sort of disarray happens in your life, whether that's in your family life, your personal values within yourself, or the way in which you run your organization. Core values really are, you know, like you said, they are the foundation. I guess kind of saying, am I a heck yes or am I a heck no, right? Like I'm a heck yes when it's in alignment with my value system and my priorities. I'm a heck no if it's not. And I think if they are front and center, because, you know, you're saying this to me right now and I'm giggling to myself and I'm like, what are my core values again? Because they used to be on a sticky note to the right. The stickiness on the sticky note kind of wore down over the years and it fell. And one day I was vacuuming and well, it went kaput and I've never put it back up. And so I know for sure one of them is fun and one of them is grit. That's all I got, folks.
Those are two pretty strong ones.
They're very strong ones. And I live by both of those every day. I love to play. I love to have fun. And I lean into grit. I lean into hard things on a regular basis because I know the hard things are going to get me the good things. So
you know, it's interesting too, as I've taken other assessments, I'm sure you have, like DISC and StrengthFinders, those correlate really well to my core values. So it kind of verifies who I am. And actually, as I talk about inside out, that's one of the first step is core values. The fifth step is the DISC assessment to really start kind of nailing down your communication style and then taking that out into your workplace or your environment. So, but it's interesting how they all correlate if you're really true to who you are.
I got to ask now. So can you tell us what the other steps are? This is probably the flow, the framework that you take your people through. So like step one, core values, step five, DISC. Yes. What's in the middle?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I should leave it a mystery. No. So the second part of it is we look at priorities. You know, everybody uses that four-letter word, BUSY. And I think that's just an excuse. And I take people through another exercise where you really look at your priorities over nine components of your life. You know, we talk about work-life balance. I think it's much more complicated than just that simple teeter-totter. So I take people through that where they really figure out their priorities, where their strengths and weaknesses are. Then I talk about differences make us better. and how diversity and inclusion is such a critical element, and not only racial and ethnic diversity, certainly those are important, but again, generational diversity. I just read a book from Tim Elmore on that, A New Kind of Diversity. And with the workforce, five generations, it's even more of a challenge with that kind of diversity. So I take folks through some exercises there. Then we get into comfort zone at step four and really breaking through the fear that we have on our life and learning to fail forward. I've been fired four times in my life. I've certainly had to do it, and many others have had many other challenges, much more challenging than that, that they've had to fight through and get through that comfort zone where they can start growing and learning. And then again, the DISC assessment kind of wraps it all up into communications, behavioral styles, and then you start bringing other people in and working together and figuring, okay, here's who I am, here's my core values, my DISC style. Now, how can I work better and relate better with you?
That's brilliant. What an amazing process.
I interrupt this epic episode to do a quick plug. Did you know that globally, we are the most unhappy we've ever been in over 50 years? Yeah. And the signs are all around us. We are seeing an increase in mental health struggles, financial struggles, and relationship struggles. We are consuming globally more than ever before. More substances, more food, more products, more stuff. Why? Why in a world where we are more connected than ever before, have access to more opportunities, and knowledge is just at the tip of our fingertips, are we so darn unhappy? I believe I have found the answer. Well, one answer, that is. And you can read all about it in my new book, Success Takes Courage, the inside-out approach to lasting achievement and happiness. Because hey, you deserve to have both.
So tell me this, with your day-to-day and, running this new organization as a solo entrepreneur, which I can completely relate to, but even for folks who maybe aren't running a solo entrepreneurship, but they still feel like they're just holding onto a lot of balls, how do you run your day in such a way that you're not burning out, you're not feeling as though you're not accomplishing the things that are on your list? Like, what is it that you do every day to ensure you're getting the things that you need to get done?
I think it's intentionally taking that time for yourself. And again, it seems almost counterintuitive in our busy social media point and click society that we're in. And that was one of the lessons I learned from John Maxwell. He takes half an hour to an hour every day, sits in his favorite chair in his favorite room. Now, he has several rooms in his home, but anyway, sits in his favorite chair and with a legal pad, he's old school, and a pen. And all he does is sits there and just kind of writes down free-flowing journaling, in a sense, what his day is, what his last day was like yesterday, what today is going to be like, what are the thoughts. And a lot of times he uses those to go on and write a book. But I think my point is intentionally taking time for yourself. Maybe it's a minute every hour, or maybe it's 15 minutes in the morning, and start small. It adds up over time, and pretty soon it's like, boy, I kind of like this. Maybe I can take 20 minutes. Maybe I take my dog for a walk five less minutes and spend five more minutes on myself. But again, I think the key word is being intentional and finding that time every day to do that. And I get up a little bit. I get up at 6 o'clock. I don't really start quote unquote working until 8. And there's some things I do in terms of reading and writing and thinking. And I'm not trying to make myself into something special, but again, it's finding that time to get away from the busy in our life.
Well, I think what I'm really hearing you say is that you have a routine.
Right.
A routine and a rhythm that you didn't get out of a book. Well, maybe you did, but you found the one that works for you, right? Right. And I think that that's the reality of, setting your day up for success, whatever that means. If you get up at 10 a.m., good for you. But what does that look like on a go forward basis for you to have that rhythm, so you do get the things done that you want to get done, but you also feel accomplished at the end of the day as well, right?
And I still waste some time on Facebook. Once in a while, I go down a rabbit hole, and that happens to the best of us. But yeah, someone said to me, leaders are readers and you should read every day. And I wasn't. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I can't do this. But then I found the time. I found 5 minutes and then 10 minutes. And then, I fit it in, because it soon became, like you said, it became a habit for me.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, and you can go as far back as you'd like, but who's been the most influential to you in your life? And why?
That's an awesome question. And that's one I actually ask a lot when I'm doing workshops too, getting people to think about who are the leaders in life. I've been really blessed. Besides, I've got incredible parents and they're 94 and 93. So I've been really blessed with having them. But outside of that, you know, people like John Maxwell, who came into my life in the last 5 years. Now, I don't know John personally, of course, but him and his faculty and what they believe in, and it's so much similar to, you know, their inside out is very similar to mine. I spent a lot of time in the coaching world, and there was a Hall of Fame, National Hall of Fame coach that I had the opportunity to coach with and work with, learned a lot of great lessons and life lessons, not basketball lessons, but how he turned for his players what happens on the court into things in life and how that can make a difference. Things like, you know, discipline and looking out for your teammates and those sorts of things. I've been blessed with some other bosses too. One of my bosses really helped me better understand the whole concept of diversity. I was going to hire a guy just like me. And she challenged me and said, think about what attributes this other person, what this other person means for our organization and for you. And I made the decision. She's the right one to hire. And her strengths filled in my weaknesses. So it was very beneficial. So I've had a few leaders that haven't been so good, but I've been really blessed through my life with some great people.
Well, that actually leads into my next question. Talk to me about the messaging, the messages, the way in which someone has shown up. You don't need to name who they are. That's not worked, right? And why it didn't work in terms of a leader perspective.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple that popped to mind, and I won't say their names, but they were just really focused on themselves, and they thought they were the originator of every thought. And here they were with an institution that had been around for 120 some years, and every thought of theirs was like a new thought, and it was their thought, and just that the ego, I guess, is the word I would look at, that they were thinking more internal than external. And you know, you and I would say are good servant leaders, or we're really focused on others almost to a fault sometimes, but that's a good fault to have. And they were focused on serving themselves and trying to advance themselves. And quite honestly, people see through that really quickly, right? Good people, you know, good people that are strong from the inside out can sense that sort of attitude. And she didn't make it. Both happened to be she's. They didn't make it very long in their respective organizations. But it's really, you know, give to get. Don't try getting all the time. Give, and things will come around with you. And I've seen that many times over, now particularly in running my new business.
Yeah, and you know what the beauty of that is? Sometimes the getting comes slow, but that's where patience, right? That lovely virtue of patience that I don't always have. But the reality is you just give. You give almost without the tether of expectation, knowing that, you know, I call it like you're filling up your good juju. Like you're filling up your good karma cup. And it's like, if you just give, you know, without that expectation, and you just love on people, and, you know, you hear a lot about being, you know, a servant leader, or, you know, being a leader with love, right? Like just looking at the world and going like, how do I light this sucker up? Like in a good way.
I had a conversation with somebody this morning, and I coached him in basketball in 1987. And you do the math, because that's too far back for me. But he reached out to me a couple of years ago to come into his company and do some work. I do DISC assessments and do some work with his company. And here's someone that I knew and hadn't seen for 30 plus years, but we had developed that relationship when I was his basketball coach. And he told me stories about how, you know, I gave him the opportunity for a starting position and how he worked that much harder, and then how it helped in school and so on. And, it, you know, you just don't know who you're impacting, and you don't know when that kind of giving can come back around and help you in some way. If nothing else, it makes you feel good that you're helping somebody.
Yeah, it fills up your cup. So they say how low you've gone is sort of how high you're going to get, right? Like it's actually, we're built through some of our toughest moments. It's that resiliency. It's that grit. It's that ability to overcome some of life's obstacles. Do you have any moments in your history, in your past, or things that you've witnessed that you can say, you know what, this was a catalyst moment for me?
Well, I would say that, you know, I mentioned before, I've been fired four times, and walking in the house and having to tell your wife, and I have four daughters, having to tell them when they were younger, and my parents, and, you know, it's not a simple or easy thing to do, clearly. And I know some people, obviously, you know, that are listening have had other greater challenges too, but you know, that's a tough thing to do. But again, if you're focusing on it the right way and you can pivot and make it, look at it as an opportunity. So for whatever reason, this didn't work out, but now what's next? And that, you know, mentioned the basketball coach, that's what he always talked about. What's next? Kind of, you can't change what's happened behind you. You can only change what's ahead of you. You can certainly learn from it, but you can only change what's ahead. So when in all four situations, I got back with people I knew, I networked, I got in the computer, I did research on openings, started applying, and did the best job I could, and, you know, and just kind of kept failing and falling forward until I got my next position. And it's certainly challenging, but there's, if you can look at it as an opportunity, maybe that change is supposed to be there, and not always easy because financially it's challenged us too. But like I said, I've had some great opportunities, and now here I am running my own business.
True that. So interesting, right? Like, you know, I always say, like, put the blinders up to comparison, because there's really no point of it. Like, you know, one person's hardship is going to be different every single day than the other people. And what affects you is going to affect me differently. But at the end of the day, when it does affect you, it does affect you. And it regardless of the size of it. And it's how do you move through it? And really what I'm hearing and what I hear from a lot of my guests is like, the getting through it is the going inward and being like, all right, like, what can I do with this? Like, what is within my control? And like, how do you lean into the momentum of, okay, what am I going to do with this? What's next? Right. And it sounds exactly what you did. Yeah.
And I was in a training too. And midway through the training, the third session, the HR person said, this isn't working right now. So we had to regroup and retool, and it ended up being a great sessions, but I could have just like gave up and said, I'm done. But I thought, you know what, I'm going to fight through this. I'm going to learn through this. I'm going to be a better trainer. And that's what ended up happening. And she was almost apologetic at the end that we had to have that slight disruption, but it worked out the best. But I just, what's down the road? What's ahead of me? Where's the road leading?
100%. All right. So I'm going to ask you my signature question. I love getting the variety of answers that I get with this question. And so the question is, what does perspective shifting mean to you?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's through learning that you're going to have that perspective shifting. We all have different thoughts and opinions on things, but through talking with others, and I think, you know, what I really like to do is I like to find people who have opinions or thoughts or beliefs that are different than mine, because that really helps me either cement me where I am or do some perspective shifting. I haven't thought of it in that way before. Maybe this is a direction I need to think more about it. So I think the more we surround ourselves with people who can help us think differently and shift our perspectives or even our direction that we're going, the better off we are. It's not like, you know, if you're a conservative, they're going to shift you to be a liberal, but you can think differently and respect people differently through that perspective shifting and really develop that respect that everybody deserves.
I love that. Okay, are you ready for the lightning speed questions?
I don't know, man. I'm nervous. You freaked me out when you told me about this. So let's give it a shot, though. I'm ready.
All right. Your favorite book and why?
I would have to say Intentional Living by John Maxwell. And that's the first book of his that I read and really kind of cemented the journey. And it talks about being intentional, some of the things that I've talked about today. So that would probably be one of many, but yeah, that would be the one.
All right. Best self-care routine that you do?
When I get up early in the morning, the first thing I do is I go into my Bible app, and then I do some posting and just developing those habits first thing in the morning before anybody else is up and moving and get that done.
Beautiful. The one app that you cannot live without?
I would say the Bible app. I would have to say that's the one. I really lean on that and rely on that quite a bit.
Right on. Okay. Coffee or tea?
Neither.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Are you gonna like delete this now?
I've never had somebody say that. So you're just a water person?
No, I don't. I don't like the taste of water. It's horrible.
What? How are you alive right now?
Well, I hate to say this, but I'm a soda guy. I do.
Oh no.
I do. Yeah, a lot of diet sodas, and I'll do have a couple of adult beverages too. Once in a while, I'll do like a Kool-Aid.
Like a real Kool-Aid.
Kind of mixed thing. What's
like
that?
The ones that come in the package that I used to get my mom to buy me for like 50 cents.
Well, I get them in different, yeah, but exactly. Yeah. Those packets. But yeah, I don't like water or coffee or really.
I love that you're saying you don't like water. You know what you need to do? You need to get in your car or in a plane, and you need to travel to the East Coast of Canada. We've got real wells here. the water is, I mean, it's from Mother Nature. It's beautiful. It's so good.
Let's do it. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think you need to do that, because I think the reason you don't like water is because they're putting all that poo in it.
Yeah, in our part of the world, it gets kind of like that. Yeah, so yeah. Natural water would be awesome.
Natural water is lovely. Lovely. Okay, last question. I feel like you've already sort of answered this, but I'm going to ask it again because, you know, you might say something different. Best piece of advice you've ever been given in life or in business?
There's a quote that I've come upon that I think is kind of some good advice, and that's, it's your decisions, not your conditions, that determine your trajectory. And I just saw that in the last couple months, and I really like that, because so often we point to our conditions, but it's really our decisions we make about those conditions. You know, there are people that have overcome great things as we've talked about, and some incredible challenges, and it's really inspiring to hear those questions. And obviously, the shift they make out of their conditions is from the inside out. So, but it's more about our decisions than our conditions that determine where we're going.
Wow. That is, I like that quote. I might be writing that down later, folks. All right. So where can people connect with you?
They can connect. Well, I'm on my website, Facebook, LinkedIn. It's my first name, last name, toddkukan.com is my website. And I'm all over social media, and people can find me if they want to.
Beautiful. I will make sure we link to all of that in the show notes. Todd, thank you so much for sharing your time with me today.
Terri Ann, this was great. Love talking to you.
Thank you.
Well, that's a wrap. If you are liking what you are listening to here on the podcast, hit subscribe. And if you're feeling extra kind, jump on up and give me a review. Cheers.